I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Around Inc. Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Scotty Scheffler wins in a runaway in the showdown at Charlotte.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
I just got off the golf course. Well, I don't know what you want from me.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Play number one on this tour, chump.
And Brandon Sprague.
You smell like my stepfather.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at LangdonFarms.com.
Oh, no, not again.
Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Should be exactly 7 a.m. What was happening here?
Look at this. Look at that.
Why is it 7? Why is it 7:01? I spoke on time.
You guys just won't shut up. God.
There's no guys there. There's only a guy. Only a guy.
I do think we have longer opens right now. Thanks to our wonderful friends.
Yeah,
Langdon
dude,
Farms.
Seriously. Like, I don't need the laundry list of stepdad issues in my life in an open. Just say the golf sponsorship.
You don't got any daddy issues? You're not dealing with daddy issues over there?
No, I'm, you know, surprisingly not.
You're mad at your dad. You're not mad at me.
I'm actually stunned I don't deal with more dad issues.
Yeah, based on the stories I hear, I'm shocked that that's not a bigger part of your life.
Maybe it's a subconscious thing and
could
I be. Deal with it in other ways that I'm not aware of. But
very well could be.
I'm stunned it doesn't impact my life more. It's crazy. I have a friend who's never even met his dad.
Yeah.
Or seen his dad in passing, but like the guy didn't even want to talk to him. So that was the only time he's ever seen him in his whole life. Totally normal person who's a great dad.
It's funny. Isn't that funny how some people have the DNA? I don't know if DNA even is the right thing, but like the mental makeup to not have that impact your life. And it doesn't mean you're weak if it does. I don't know how I would have handled that. Not knowing your dad, not growing up with your dad, and like not. That would have been something that would have been constantly on my mind. I think I would have been one of the people that would have been significantly impacted by it.
I mean, are you impacted by it? Maybe. Like, the thing I think would impact somebody like him, I would tell you, is he's afraid of his nipples to be seen. So, like, is that a dad issue, or is that, like, a big insecurity because of the way his nipples look? I don't know.
What do his nipples look like?
I do. I've been wondering
he
this
he won't
for
show
a while.
You his nipples?
He legitimately will swim with a shirt on.
I got some follow-up questions. Here,
I have
ma'am.
A lot of questions, and he won't answer them.
Look, I have a little nipple sensitivity. Please don't pull that. You know, I got big nipples. I'm a heavier guy.
Big nipples or big areolas?
Both. No.
You got a big ring, or you got a long nip?
No, it's not a long nip.
Okay,
it's just wide.
Okay,
and fat. It's a wide fat nipple.
Okay,
which I'm a little self-conscious of when I'm in public, so I understand the idea.
Sure,
but I think all of us at a certain point you reach the level of like I don't care.
Mm.
What you know? What's somebody going to do? Look at my nipples and be like, hey, look at those, they're big nipples, and then you go about your day. Nothing in my life is impacted by that.
The only thing
you got to stop caring what other people think about you, man. You got to overcome that.
Let
those nipples out, buddy.
It only impacts you if your friends are constantly like
grabbing them,
making like Fokker jokes,
milk me mommy jokes,
Jim Carrey in the elevator.
Is he? Let me ask personal questions. Yeah. Is he with somebody?
Yeah, he's married.
He's married?
Married a long time.
Married a long time. What do we care about anymore?
I've actually asked her, like, why is he so weird about his nipples?
Does he take his shirt off in front of you, of his wife? I'm assuming he has to.
It'd be really odd if you never did.
Does he sleep with a shirt on every day?
How do you
shower
live?
With a shirt on?
You can't live around your wife unless you've been naked around your wife.
Fornicating with your wife with a shirt on?
It's impossible.
I got a lot of follow-up questions, man. We need this guy to come on the show anonymously and talk about his nipples.
I don't think he wants
we'll
to get
blur
on
his
the
voice.
Air.
We'll blur his face, blur his voice. Let's ask some nipple questions to this guy.
Hey, so why are you so insecure about your nipples?
Well, it all started when I was about 17.
Like he's a member of a drug cartel. He's like hiding from the CIA.
The silhouette of his voice talking about his nipple insecurities.
The Willard Bang and a girl in high school made fun of me and I've never recovered.
I'd say the only insecurity I have in that regard is like I have a really deep belly button. And I don't feel like it used to
you
be that
way. You get self-conscious about your belly button?
No, I don't I'm not self-conscious about it, but like the closest thing I get to it
to that level
is probably the depth of my belly button.
We're talking like, can I go skydiving into that thing? Can I cave diving?
Maybe a quarter of your finger disappears.
Ooh, that's a deep hole.
That's a deep hole.
You got a deep hole over there.
Got to clean out that lint trap.
Yeah, a lot of stuff gets in there. It fills up pretty quick, I imagine.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, that's the benefit of being an Audi. You look weird. Nothing going in there, though.
Yeah. I think I'd feel a little more insecure about an Audi than my deep.
I tend to agree with
deep
you.
One.
I tend to agree with you.
But yeah, you know,
I'd rather
have
a deep hole than an Audi. But you're not cleaning out lint from an Audi,
right? People aren't like, "Why is your belly button so deep?
What's going on in there?"
I don't know, man. I designed it that way.
You got
what
dryer
do you want
lint?
Me to say here?
You know what was it? My dad wasn't there to cut the umbilical cord. Okay, if he would have been there to properly cut it, maybe it wouldn't be so deep. See, now you got daddy issues. Came full circle in that segment.
We found it. My issue. My belly button insecurity is my dad issue.
One of these days, I'll take my nipples out and just fly them. You know what I mean?
Coincidentally.
Let people see them.
He was there for the birth, and then instantly was like, it's not mine.
Yeah, I don't want this kid. I'm out of here, dude.
What are you doing right now?
Come on, man!
Transitioning from nipple and belly button conversation.
Is it my insecurity? Is that I'm a Blazer fan? Lifelong embarrassment. It's pretty good. Yeah, guys, don't tell anybody. I root for the Blazers.
We got Craig Smith. Depth secured.
I'm really excited about Wade Ellington. He's definitely going to be an all-star.
Should we retire Rod Newman's jersey for the 4 overtime game?
I mean, who could forget the 4 overtime game? It's one of the best moments of my Blazer fandom. It happened in the second round.
Sports fandom insecurities are underrated.
That's
good
pretty
ones.
Funny. That's a pretty funny poll.
Because
right
you know
there.
There's more people. That guy is probably having a good time.
Yeah.
But there are people legitimately probably semi-embarrassed of some of their fandoms.
Yes, they absolutely are.
They just don't
the
want to admit
The things that
it.
You watch or you root for, somebody said, now I'm envisioning dirt shirtless in a swimming pool wearing nipple covers at 7:04 in the morning. So you can't do that. That makes it even more obvious. You can't wear nipple covers because then it's like everybody's
like
going to see those.
Like you're wearing pasties? Is that what we're doing here? You know, like in a music video?
Like bedazzled? Do they hang
is
down?
Is something hanging down?
One of
yeah.
those tassels like from the graduation caps? I got two of those things swinging back and forth? Now I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. My hope is there's just other fats at the pool that blend in and their nipples are bigger than mine and then I don't have the biggest ones of the bunch.
Well, would bigger nipples help or would like a bigger gut help? Like a fatter person
Ooh,
or
I think if
bigger
I got,
nipples?
Yeah.
What
I think
would help your insecurity here?
That's also part of my problem is I need to get a fatter to make
you
my
need
nipples
to, get fatter?
To make my nipples not look as big. I feel like the fatter you are, the more natural they look and I am fat, but I'm not that fat and so it doesn't add up. Does that make sense?
So you're not fat enough to the point where people don't notice your nipples.
Yes. If I get fatter, they'll be like, it's just a fat guy over there.
I don't think you should try to get fatter. I think that should not be the goal.
I'm not actively trying. We're just heading in that direction. It's not I wake up every day with the goal of how do I make myself fatter. It's an end product.
It'd be really funny if by the end of the second pregnancy, your wife leans in and goes, look, I love you for you. But you put on some weight during this pregnancy.
Hey, I'm just trying to be a good partner here, okay? You want to eat a pint of ice cream tonight? Let's eat a pint of ice cream tonight, okay? Nobody talks about the struggles we go through in pregnancy, okay? The 12 pounds I'm going to gain?
Yeah.
I don't have a baby in here that's going to get born. This stuff's not coming right off.
Are you stress eating
yes,
now? Because
I'm stress
the second
eating.
Kid's going to ruin your life.
How are we
going to
afford this? What are we going to do? This is going to be crazy. You want to eat a pint of ice cream? I don't have a 10-pound thing coming out to lose some of this weight, all right?
I saw a thing that said inflation is 6% higher year over year. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Because they had to readjust it because shocking the number was lower than it should have been.
Right.
But I started laughing because I'm like, I bet you if Dirt even found out he had a girl, it would be the most tomboyish girl of all time because he is just hand-me-down Teddy ballgame clothes.
We're not getting any new clothes here. We don't need
Sheila.
Anything. You're fine. 2 years, nobody can tell the difference, all right? When you start walking and talking, then we'll talk about getting you a dress.
We're but until all about then, quality in this house.
Until then, you're wearing an Oregon Duck onesie, all right? This is how we're going to roll.
Devon Achane got paid.
Yes, he did. Nice pivot. How about that? How much did he get paid?
How do you want me to transition
There's
from
no good transition,
big nipple
yeah.
talk to Devon Achane?
Somebody's saying the worst is back hair. They feel insecure about their back. I could see that
okay,
being an insecurity.
I want to jump in on this because I don't have it.
I don't have any back hair either, yeah.
I do have a weird amount of awkward numbered chest hairs.
Yeah.
And I have to shave them because if I grew them out, it would look like, why do you have 9 hairs in that spot?
That's a little weird, a little cluster randomly somewhere on your chest.
But as somebody who has observed shoulder back hair, I you know, whatever, if you have it, you have it. But sure. I have wondered if guys are insecure about that.
I think it's one of those things where
shoulder hair to me is the more, if I had the two,
right.
Back hair is like, it's kind of a caveman,
a masculine nature to it.
Like, I'm staying warm. Shoulders is like, I can't grow it anywhere else.
Natural blanket.
And it's just
on you.
Like it grew from your head, but it morphed down to your shoulder and popped out.
Now, if we're talking like you look like a werewolf, then that I could definitely see being an insecurity. Like your entire back is covered in hair.
Sure.
That would be like you just look like a dog. That would be a little strange.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I think we should all take away from this about our insecurities. Like if you took your shirt off and I saw your deep belly button, I probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, you would. It's a big black hole. Really, it's really a bat cave.
I mean, I might glance at it and be like, huh, that's a big belly button. And then I go about my day.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not make a comment or a joke, right. But you move on.
And the back hair stuff's the same. Like, if right. I'm at the pool and the guy in the chair next to me's got a lot of back hair and looks like Teen Wolf, like, yeah, that's a lot of hair. And then I go back to my day. It's that quick of a notice. And I should do the same for my nipples, you know?
Yeah.
Don't let it impact your day-to-day life.
Exactly.
People glance at, dude, that guy got big nipples. And then you go about your day.
Live your life as if you were Devon Achan, who just got $64 million.
The third highest paid running back in the NFL?
On a four-year deal.
Did I read that correctly? Third highest paid?
I think you can make a really good argument. In the last 3 years.
Ooh. Let's debate a Miami Dolphin.
Now, he's not Barkley, he's not McCaffrey, he's not Henry.
No.
But I think you make a good point that he's like flown completely under the radar of one of the top producing running backs in the National Football
League. I mean, 3 years in the league, he's been effective every year in the league. He's a good, like a multi-dimensional back. He can catch balls out of the backfield. He's one of the fastest guys in the NFL. Finally had a breakout, you know, fully breakout, 1,000-yard season this year. He's been a touchdown machine every year he's been in the league.
He almost had 1,000 the year prior, 907, 800 the year before that. Yep. Since he left San Francisco and went to Miami, he's been a really good running back.
His yard per carry average, too, has been really good every year he's been in the NFL. He's been a big home run hitter and all that. So I got no issues. I also think, too, this goes back to kind of the conversation we were having about blame going to certain guys and whatnot. Like, the running back spot is unique in the NFL. Like, if you're in a good offense with good pieces around you, your ability to perform at a high level will be increased, if that makes sense. And, like, they've had really bad quarter. Like, last year, him going for 1,300 yards, when Tua got benched, he was so bad, he was almost unplayable. And then they turned to Quinn Ewers. Like, if I'm a defensive coordinator going into game plan against Miami, what am I thinking?
All you're gearing up for is him.
Just don't let Achane go off.
Yeah.
Like, that's where Derrick Henry, who is phenomenal, and he's been so good his entire career. Like,
they had no Hill either.
Right. There's like there's a Lamar Jackson aspect of it, of like, hey, all right, you still got to worry about Lamar Jackson. Oh, then here comes 280 pounds downhill at you. It's not easy to do. And Shanahan and his offense and all the weapons they have in San Francisco for McCaffrey. So, not to say that one's necessarily better than the other, but yeah, if you're Miami, you're clearly going to start over at quarterback, and you hope that you can give that guy some help. Achane's going to help that, and I got no issue with the deal.
I mean, I just think because of where Henry is in his career might be kind of the back end of it.
Yes. Him and McCaffrey both are on
McCaffrey,
the sunset of their careers. I mean, now, is it one more year, two more years? Who knows? But they're clearly winding down.
If I told you McCaffrey gets hurt next year because he had over 400 touches, like you're not going to be like, oh, this is shot. Like, I was a Niner fan. I was preparing for it last year
just
because he came in
him.
With calf stuff, and I'm right. Like, God. And then he stayed healthy and he had an amazing season. Barkley didn't have quite the season he wanted the year prior, but
2 years ago he's dominant. Little fall off.
He's now above Breece Hall.
I
can't be mad at that.
No, I got.
Should
no
he make more
that.
Money than Breece Hall? Yeah, sure. I don't. Whatever. Yeah. Breece Hall and him, you can make an argument for either. I don't really care. So
yeah.
I thought that was just good business. It's $32 million guaranteed.
Yeah, it's not that much. And NFL, like,
they're in a rebuilding phase, too. It's not like they have all this money dedicated to the quarterback.
Right. And I think, too, like, there's this idea that you could just go find running backs on the scrap heap. And that's certainly true for some guys.
To a certain extent. He was kind of one of these in San Francisco.
Yeah, I just, to me.
Before he went with McDaniel.
Right. I just think for him, for when you find a guy and he's young, too, like, you're still early in your career. Like, he is only 24 years old. You're going to turn 25 in October. Like, he's going to be all right. For another 3 years where you're giving him a decent amount of guaranteed money. So some guys, you kind of roll your eyes at the idea of paying them of like, ooh, that seems like a lot of money. That seems like a roll of the dice. I don't feel that way here.
I keep saying San Francisco.
I don't know. You're really confusing me. I'm wondering,
you
did
I'm confusing him with somebody Mostert? Else. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostert went.
Mostert. He was in San Francisco.
He was drafted, and you kept saying that, and I thought to myself.
And I kept looking at his
football reference
page, too. I didn't
want to correct you because you follow
should've.
The Niners closer than me, and
no,
I'm like,
you
did they draft him and then trade him? I'm really confused right now.
No, you should have.
Yeah, he was drafted in Miami. He's played all 3 years in
Miami. He's played 3 years. Yeah. I had him confused with Mostert, but yeah, he's been really productive. 800, 900, and then 1350.
And Mostert has been there. He was their 1-2 punch there for a while because he did. He followed McDaniel.
That's
from
what
San
it was.
Francisco
I had the Mostert San Francisco to Miami thing, and then I put that on Achane. But Achane's been, I think, pretty good, but he gets the 4 year deal. We got butt cracked by Mike Wilbon, or
yeah, we did.
Do you want to believe my theory?
Oh, you got a conspiracy?
I have a little bit of an NFL conspiracy here.
Okay.
Because Mike Wilbon over a week ago went on ESPN and just nonchalantly said the Bears are starting week one in the West against
Seattle.
Oh,
and he backed it up on PTI yesterday.
Oh, he said it again.
He again reiterated he was talking about the Bears. Yeah, they got to go out to Seattle week one or whatever. He wasn't specifically refuting, but he still alluded to it.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's either going to help mine or this is his Davon Achane, and he is confusing the schedule with Raheem Mostert like I just did. I had a theory that because he leaked it and it became a big talking point for NFL diehards, that the NFL tweaked it and switched the Bears-Patriots game.
I'll allow the theory.
But you telling me he was on PTI yesterday makes me wonder if he's just being old.
Yeah, so they were talking about, I don't know what they were talking about with Bears or whatever, but he alluded, he's whoever he knows in the Bears organization, still of the belief that he understands.
The better game is the Bears here.
Yes.
I know that was the Super Bowl, but the better game is the Bears. What is the talking point going to be when that game's about to kick off?
The whole talking point is going to be Vrabel-Rossini.
Unfortunately, it's Vrabel-Rossini.
That's all we're going to talk about. If that was the conspiracy theory, I would question the NFL's motives.
It's just mine. I get it.
I also wouldn't put it past them of like they guard this stuff, you know, tooth and nail, and they don't want stuff to leak. And if you let something leak, they're going to make you pay for it. So I certainly think there's a percentage chance that could have been the case. Maybe it is just Wilbon being old and forgetful. And they are going to Seattle this year, and he just for some reason keeps saying week one.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the NFL would do this. Either way, whether it's a conspiracy or not.
The Super Bowl rematch?
Yeah. Like, why would you want to expose yourself to the Vrabel conversation for weeks leading into that game? Because you know that's all we're going to talk about. Also, what's it doing to the defending Super Bowl champion? Like, I'm not the biggest Seattle guy. We all know that if you listen to the show. Yeah. I don't root for any
of
them.
But all the focus
should be on them. It's incredibly unfair to them.
I agree.
It's already unfair to make them play on the Wednesday instead of the Thursday. So you're changing up the entire thing. So now Niners and Rams get the Thursday game because you want to play a stupid game in Australia.
At least it's week one. You have no wear and tear at that point.
And I'm sure they would say, well, we get extra days off before our next game. Yeah. So there's a benefit.
The
like, I get it. We're just used to the traditional Thursday night Super Bowl banner.
Yeah.
And now all of the attention of that opening night game will be shifted from the defending champs and raising the banner to, hey, this NFL head coach slept with a reporter while she was pregnant.
I
just don't – why would the NFL want to do that?
I don't know why
the Patriots for a month on the national TV schedule.
We have the same opinion, but I'll say this. Do you think ESPN's really been covering the story? Because people have pointed out they're not.
Yeah.
They're not, but lots of others are.
We are.
The general media
TMZ,
is.
Well, TMZ is, but – you're not seeing
Pro
a lot of it.
Pro Football Talk is.
Well,
but then you had a little bit of that with Florio where
they're
he's shooting
tip-toeing.
Sims down of like, hey, don't talk about that. Be careful.
The NFL Network ain't.
No, they're not.
Good Morning Football ain't doing
It's not necessarily
segments.
Just about your providers because that's a fair point.
They're
that
not going to talk about it on those shows.
But it will be a conversation in the general football world, all of the podcasts.
I don't know
and
why that game's
and,
not.
Is that an NBC game, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah,
they
NBC
get the
gets
game.
The season opener.
Hand a guy. What did Tirico and Collinsworth even say about it? Involved in an off-season scandal and just move right on?
That's a good question. I think it also depends what else happens between now and then. Like, any more information? Is there any more? Does he have to go to therapy again? Like, do we get one of those?
Therapy. His one day of therapy.
Well, now we have naked photos of them together. I'm heading back to therapy, everybody.
I think the big test will be when we get to training camp, when there's preseason games and all the media is there, like, will the assembled media there every day drop it? Or will they continue to peck and poke until they force either Vrabel or the Patriots to, like, will they let them know, we're not letting this go?
Yeah.
We're not satisfied with what information's been provided.
But are the beat guys going to do that? Because again,
that's my question.
I think we're living in a TMZ bubble here.
I
think
just,
we as sports fans are joking about it. We're having fun at their expense. we're following those storylines, but I don't think Brady Henderson's going to walk into that press conference and ask Mike McDonald about dealing with the Mike Vrabel offseason story.
Hey, Mike, have you ever slept with a reporter?
No, well, that won't happen, but it'll just be the Patriots. But
I don't think they're going to get asked. I think they're going to bury this.
You're not necessarily wrong. I think there's some validity to what you're saying, that the partners will essentially try and bury it.
I agree with your take, though, of like it's very stupid that you would start the season
It comes back to the point of, like, if you're playing Chicago, you know what's not a conversation.
Yeah.
At all.
It's a contender. Are they up and coming? Is Seattle going to show them?
Like, fun, you know, young coach who's talking some trash, got a good young quarterback. Yep. Like, it's just a much better game. I was bummed to see it was the Pats.
I was too. I was too. Seattle deserves a great game, and maybe they get one, but I wanted Chicago more than I wanted New England. But according to the NFL schedule makers, it's going to be New England. We have a lot to get to today on a busy little Thursday morning. We'll move on from Devon Achan confusion with Raheem Mostert. $64 million contract, Mike Vrabel, nipple and belly button talk. On to more important pressing things. Hour number two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Daily Ticker Time here on Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your commute's going all right, or you're just hanging out in the office or at home. Thanks for hanging with us. A delightful little Thursday.
Somebody said they hope you have a water pick for your belly button.
Sometimes I put a Cheeto in it.
No, I need that visual.
It's a Cheeto on deck.
Hey, just in case you need one right there.
You ever had Flamin' Hot Lint?
I got made fun of that when I was in, did you do a shadow day like middle school to high school? Did you ever do that before you went to high school? It helped because I had a brother who was a junior in high school.
I know this is a thing. Yeah. I can't recall that I did. Mm. And if I did, then whatever. But I don't remember that day if I did.
It helped because I had a brother who was already at Cleveland, and he was a junior. And so I went to, you could take a day off of middle school when you're in eighth grade to go get a sense of what high school is like. And so I followed him around for the entire day. And I remember being really excited to go to Taco Bell for lunch, like super pumped. Like an eighth grader going to Taco Bell for lunch just felt cool. My brother's got subwoofers in the back of his Honda Civic. Like, I'm living the dream right now. And this is back in the day when they used to have the, were they Mexi Nuggets? little potato bites at Taco Bell. And I was wearing cargo shorts, like, just paint the picture for you.
Yeah.
And I didn't finish my Mexi Nuggets.
So you Napoleon Dynamite?
I put them in my cargo short pocket. His friends would not stop making fun of me. And I'm like, well, what if I get hungry later? They're right here in my cargo pocket.
So you're a couple years younger than me. Was Napoleon Dynamite a thing?
I don't believe Napoleon Dynamite had come out yet.
So it had to have blown your mind to see in the movie.
It's happened to me a couple times,
He put it in the pocket.
Something that I've done that then gets done in a movie becomes a joke, and I'm like, that was me like 2 years ago, dude. Let's see. This would have been 2000 and...
It would be really funny if a writer on that movie 2002? Went to school with you and knew about this and threw it in as a writer of that movie. Like, dude, I knew a guy in high school.
Yeah, because my brother graduated in
2004.
So it would have been 2003, and Napoleon Dynamite came out in 2004. So
that's crazy.
I beat Napoleon Dynamite to put the Mexi Nuggets in the pocket.
How about that?
I mean, look, sometimes you need a snack later in the day. You get hungry.
Tater tots are delightful.
They're fantastic.
They're the underrated conversation of potatoes.
Yes, like a Cajun tot. When you go out to dinner, I'm 100%. If you offer me, do you want fries? Do you want salad? Do you want soup? But one of the options
is
a Cajun tot.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Yep.
It beats the fry.
I'm with you there.
It's undefeated.
So our daily ticker today is going to be us.
Hello.
We're the ones guest
You
want to
interview me
show.
About Steve Yeager and how bad it would be if he won the PGA Championship?
I have no time for a Yeager bomb.
He's currently in the lead right
now.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about that. There's another guy named Cauley. I don't know who the hell these people are. But
you don't know Bo Cauley? Actually, don't know. I think it's Bo Cauley. Is it Bo Cauley? So I'm not paying attention. I think it is.
It's Bud.
Bud? Is it Bud Cauley?
It's Bud.
I knew it started with a B. That was close. At least I got the letter
right.
Also,
a guy named Aldrich Poltegeeter.
Poltegeer?
Poltegeer. No idea.
That's a tough one to pronounce.
Yeah.
Alex Fitzpatrick winning, though, would be really cool. Because remember, who he talked about a couple weeks ago, Matthew's brother, where he got his tour card when they did the team event at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. And it was in the golf circles. Here, I'll bring you inside the bubble.
Yeah.
Very controversial. because it was not a normal PGA Tour event. He did not win it, but because it's the you know the what you get for winning, he got a you know 5-year exemption or whatever. He got you know qualified in all these different tournaments. And I know you haven't been watching closely the last couple of weeks, but it was when he made it. It was like really we're giving this guy a tour card. He's gone. I want to say 3 straight top tens on the PGA Tour. He's been in the mix every tournament that he's played, kind of shutting everybody up. He's always been in the shadow of his bigger brother. So that Alex Fitzpatrick winning the PGA Championship would be absolutely bonkers.
Our guy Bryce Fisher, give you guys a heads up. We interviewed him yesterday. Local story, great story, good dude. Second to last. He's plus 5 right now.
You know, it's tough. It's tough conditions out there, man.
We didn't have a lot of expectations.
No, you're not. Matthew Block's only coming around once. That's not a normal story where the PGA professionals are all of a sudden in the mix going into the weekend.
Coincidentally, Michael Block is about to tee off here.
Oh, Blocky time.
Any minute.
I bet they got a Blocky solo camera on ESPN+.
So I want to add a couple more NFL notes that I want to get to. So we have the Lions-Bears on Thanksgiving. It's the 21st time in the history of the rivalry they're going to play on Thanksgiving as the schedule continues. The schedule is supposed to fully be released today, correct?
Yes, which, by the way, we do not have a – they have not officially announced Pat Seahawks.
But so, we have Bob Condotta and Jordan Schultz.
Two different
Schultz.
Reporters are saying that is the
it's
game.
It's the Pat Seahawks.
But we do not have an official NFL announcement, so, you know.
If Mike Wilbon ends up being right
– if we have to snip-snap on that again – I'm going to be livid.
I want nothing to do with it. We know we're going to get at least a good Thanksgiving game in Chicago and Detroit, and I'm looking forward to that one. I don't know what to make of the Bears, and I know this is a way too early look ahead, but having the Bears featured in more primetime games certainly gets me as a sports fan far more excited than having the Bears in it 5 years ago.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, Chicago being a primetime team, I you know, we kind of got into this the other day of, like, the teams you get most excited. You know, you get excited for a lot of teams in the NFL, but like there's certain ones where you see them and you're like, ooh, all right. That like Lions and Bears does it for me on Thanksgiving. It's not only a tradition, but it's also Detroit. Like they're heading for an interesting year in Detroit. Are you just going to keep running Goff out there? What if you go 9 wins again? Like I'm just, you know, all of this talk about them being this ascending franchise and you lose your 2 coordinators and then they don't make the playoffs. And it wasn't like they were terrible last year. But it feels like a very interesting year for them.
Yeah.
Chicago is this upstart that was a play or two away. DJ Moore keeps running on a route. Maybe they're in the NFC Championship game. I don't think they beat Seattle in Seattle, but you never know. And so they're clearly on the brink of doing it. But the NFL has also showed us that just because success from 1 year, if you have success 1 year, it does not translate to the next year. No league tears down teams who come up faster than the NFL does. Think about what we were saying this time last year about the Commanders and how excited we were to see the Commies who were in the NFC Championship game. Mm. And Jaden Daniels, this young, hot quarterback, man, let's put the Commies on national television all year long. Oopsies, that didn't work. So that's a unique part about the NFL. But as of right now, in the NFC, like Stafford and enjoying that for as long as he can, because I don't know how many more years he has, their weapons and all that, like they'll always be near the top of the list. You could make an argument the Bears are the second most entertaining or exciting team for me, at least personally.
Really? In the NFC?
To watch in the NFC, yeah.
Over the Seahawks and the Eagles?
The Seahawks are certainly a better football team, and the Eagles are and they're not a better team right now than the Bears, but they've won a Super Bowl in the last 2 years. It's more about the aesthetics of the offense and their quarterback and the things that Caleb can do.
But they have such weird moments in games where it's like 10-3, and you're like, what's going on with the offense
here? Well, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl last year, and Sam Darnold threw 4 picks in a game against the Rams.
Well, you're not wrong to point that out.
I'm not saying they're better or they're going to be more competitive. It's just like from an entertainment, like Caleb does stuff in a game.
Caleb, absolutely. You can hate him or love him.
Yes.
He is without a doubt.
The throw that he made in the playoff game,
you're going to watch it.
It was insane. It's like, unbelievable.
Fact, let me ask you this. Of starting NFL quarterbacks, and I know we've got Mahomes injured, but let's just put him in there, okay?
Yeah, healthy Mahomes.
Of starting NFL quarterbacks, where is Caleb on the most exciting as a quarterback that's going to be on your television watchability?
So maybe? I'm still going to go still give me the legacy guys. I'll still take Allen and Burrow and Lamar and Mahomes over him.
So your core four,
my
top
core four,
four
are not going to change.
Same, okay.
And then I think you could make a strong argument, and I would have no issue with him with ranking him number 5. Because of his ability to make crazy plays.
You enjoy watching him over Jordan Love?
I do, yes. Okay. I'm not saying he's better than Jordan Love. People are going to misconstrue this conversation.
Well, some people do say that.
Yeah, if you want to put him ahead of him, that's fine. I'm not necessarily doing that. This is just more from an entertainment standpoint.
Does he have as many playoff wins as Jordan Love? Because Love beat the Cowboys, right? And then they blew the game to the Niners. And then last year...
He's got one. I think Love only has one playoff win, right?
So Caleb has one, Love has one?
Yes.
Okay. Because yes. I find Love can have these weird... Love has got a similar thing with Caleb of, like, some moments he looks amazing, and other moments I'm like, what are you doing?
Yes. They have lost each of the last 2 years. They lost Bears this past year. Remember, they blew the lead. The year before was the Eagles game. They went on the road to Philly and lost 22-10. And then, yeah, they smoked the Cowboys in 2023 and then blew the lead to the Niners in the division round. So he has one playoff win.
You'd rather watch him over Love?
I would. Yeah, I would rather watch him over Love.
Hurts, certainly.
Hurts without a doubt.
Herbert?
Yeah, I would say Herbert, yeah. I mean, I'm hopeful for Herbert changing that narrative this year with a new offensive coordinator, but there's an aspect of watching Harbaugh teams that sometimes isn't as entertaining.
Baker?
Ooh, Baker's a good one.
Baker's a feisty
little
one.
I feel like Baker
watch.
And Caleb are almost identical in that way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just but a wild hair up their nose. They're going to run around. They're going to do something dumb. They're going to miss an easy throw and then make the craziest throw of the game.
What about Bo?
Bo is similar in that. I think I would take watching Caleb over him.
Okay,
I'd
agree.
A slight nudge. Yeah. And I'm not even the biggest Caleb guy. He's got some deficiencies in his game. He's got to get his completion percentage above 60%. Like, there's some non-negotiables of him taking the next step, but he's damn entertaining.
I look at it more when I'm getting these game releases out, and we'll get the schedule. And if the Seahawk thing changes during our show, we'll let you know. Like, if it ends up being the Bears, we'll celebrate it, because I'd rather have the Bears Seahawks in week one than
I also think the Pats are going to fall off this year. Maybe hold me to it, because it might not happen. I think the Pats are coming for a crash down.
I more look at the stable of quarterbacks in the National Football League that we know will start. Like, Cam Ward is a question mark coming in because he didn't have the greatest rookie year, but his coaching situation was the worst.
Yeah.
And now that's revamped.
Got a good offensive mind.
CJ Stroud's going to have pressure, right? When's Daniel Jones going to come back, and is he going to come back to what he was? Trevor Lawrence took a big step last year in getting the Jags back to the playoffs. Is he going to follow that up? I'm more curious this year if we have a guy finally step into the rotation of the core four.
Yeah, to see who's the next guy that actually enters the conversation.
You could make an argument, certainly, in the last 4 to 5 years, we have shortchanged maybe Stafford in that conversation.
I think we absolutely. I mean, he was the MVP of the league.
We named the four. We don't name
that's
five.
That's a really good point. Stafford, and I thought I started with Stafford there, and then, or maybe I didn't, but that may have been a Rams point on the Bears. Stafford belongs in, like, he was the MVP of the league last year. He's still playing it. You could argue he's better than all those guys last season. I know some of them had good numbers, so it should be a core five.
The fight to be in the five is more what I'm kind of curious about, too, and who's going to follow it up, because you're so right to point out Jaden Daniels, and then, you know, a lot of people putting the eggs in the Caleb basket. I'm hopeful for it, but I don't know. The year, what would it have been, three?
This would be year three for him,
can regress, and teams can figure out on tape.
They absolutely can. I think it all is about, in the NFL, two things. Can you win an MVP, and can you win at the highest level in the Super Bowl, or get your team to a Super Bowl and carry them there?
Yeah.
If you can do that, you can enter the conversation. Until you do that, you're not going to enter the conversation.
Got a couple local notes I want to get to coming up here with our local sports teams. I'll tell you what they are coming up next. Dirt and Sprague. Don't forget, it's a Magic Hat Thursday on 105.1 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to remind you, you can join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. The afternoon rounds are gone, but we have just a few left in the morning round. Come hang out with us. We'll be at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole. We'll have Matt's barbecue to eat. You go to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic is presented by Toyota. It's also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dope Belt Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. A lot to get to in the third hour, and we got the Magic Hat today in the fourth hour. We got some audio that we're going to bring you in the Magic Hat today.
I feel like I got two really good bits of audio. Two really good, like, I'm really proud of myself this week.
I got one that's not great audio-wise, but I'll explain why I'm playing it. And the other, we'll get to that when we get to it, the final hour.
A little over an hour from now.
There is currently a bid right now to buy the Clyde Drexler Dream Team jersey.
Oh.
Last counted, about 20 hours ago, the Oregonian has it at about $75,000 as a bid.
$75,000?
And that's not even as much as Scottie Pippen got.
Zero, zero, zero. Now, now is this like a game war, like in the game, gold medal game jersey?
Yeah. Let me see.
Who's auctioning
it's signed
it off?
By him, by the
signed
way.
Signed by him, okay.
It's up for the 92 Olympics. It's signed by Clyde the Glide himself. The independently photo matched jersey is expected to go for at least 200. Heritage Auctions said in a statement, its current high bid is 75K to 91.5 once you include the buyer's premium, which is the buyer's payment to the auction house.
Okay.
The auction ends Saturday, and his dream team teammate Scottie Pippen sold his at $384,000.
Holy hell, man.
Yeah.
It's just one of those sayings like, if you had, you know, F you unlimited money, this kind of stuff would be really dangerous for me. The amount of sports collectibles that I would buy would be insane. Like, if you just had money was no object to you, you're Elon Musk or whoever you want to throw into this category.
Yeah.
Based on Elon Musk,
I mean,
based on my interests, I mean, I would buy an NFL team. So maybe that's too extreme of an example.
A sports team in every league.
But like, let's say you just have like tens of millions, right? Like, maybe not buy a pro sports team level money, but you're very incredibly rich. I would spend so much time buying crap like this just to get it hanged and put it in my man cave. Clyde Dream Team jersey,
Scotty,
would be badass, dude. I've always contemplated one of my big buys that I need to make. I know Magic did. Did Larry Johnson ever play for a Team USA? Did Grandmama ever make a USA team?
I don't think he did.
He wasn't on the Dream Team, I know.
Team.
Yeah,
maybe he was on the 96 team.
Could have been 96.
I don't know if he played on an Olympic team. He might have played on like some other.
I've always wanted to buy a USA Johnson jersey, and basically Magic is my only option, which I'm not opposed to, but I feel like Larry Johnson would be a cool. I was a big Larry Johnson guy as a kid.
96 team. Here we go.
I mean, he was really good in the mid-90s.
So you had Barkley, Grant, Malone, Pippen. Those were your four forwards.
Yeah.
And then you had Hakeem, Shaq, David Robinson, Penny, Reggie, GP, Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond. I loved Mitch Richmond.
John Stockton.
Yeah. Okay, so no 96
No Grandmama.
The good thing about the Dream Team, though, too, in 92 is the jerseys are clean. Like, I haven't loved every iteration of Team USA jerseys. The Dream Team jerseys are perfect. I got no issues with them.
You got a problem with the 96 ones?
No, not that I didn't like. It's not that I hate the other ones. I just feel like that's, I don't know, maybe it's just I've seen so many documentaries and they're the most iconic USA basketball team of all time.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a part of it playing into my head, but they feel like the perfect iteration of it.
We don't have a lot of time here, but I kind of feel like this is maybe the window. I saw a video last night and it popped up in my algorithm as I was doom scrolling for about a minute and a half on Instagram.
What's wrong with the world now? Tell me.
I mean, there's a lot that's wrong with the world, but in keeping it hyper-local, I would say the video that got onto my feed was our good buddy who had he made a video, but because he cursed, they had to dub an audio, like change the audio to it.
Okay.
And they did it on purpose. And it was Bill Orem screaming at city council people about the monies for Tom Dundon.
Is it an AI-made thing?
No. It's really
he
him.
Actually went
at the offices. He's recording himself. He's cursing. And instead of cursing, you can tell he's like dubbed over. Shoot.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that video.
Well, it got put out yesterday.
Okay.
And I just...
Billy O.
We've gotten tweets about it. And I know he's had to come out and write the truths and the myths and the... Why are people aggregating like this? And we haven't given it a lot of thought and conversation. And I'm not trying to do that here per se. It doesn't feel like the Blazers came off a playoff season. It feels like it's been nonstop three straight months of everything awful.
Yeah. Not a lot of good news lately. Not a lot of positivity
the
around
owner
the old
sucks.
Organization.
The city sucks.
Yeah.
The roster sucks.
I guess
it's just like there's no good news. Like Freeman's writing these season recaps of every player. You want this guy. You want that guy. You don't want that guy. Trade that guy. Those are fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it just feels like all of the conversation is soaked up around everything sucks and it's terrible and it's going to end.
I don't know what the ultimate goal of our guy Billy O is, right? He's very, you say the name right now, it's a very hot topic. A lot of people don't like him. And he would say that I'm just reporting on what's going on and I'm just giving facts in this scenario that there's a case that you don't get the funding and the team ultimately moves. I still tend to believe that that's a very, 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 very incredibly slim chance of actually happening. I don't think the NBA wants it. I think they want to balance the schedule. There's already going to be an expansion team in Seattle and it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to move an NBA franchise, and what do we know about our new owner?
Cheap.
He's cheap. So it doesn't compute in my head. The one thing that I'm not surprised by, and I guess maybe I give them more faith than they should get, is the idea of I'm not surprised that there are city council members and people in the county who are dragging their feet doing the Portland thing over this. Like, that's the least surprising news of all time. Where I continue to reside, and I hope that I'm not proven wrong because it's disastrous if we are, is that I still think the state and everybody else is going to continue to push the scales down and push their weight down until finally something gets approved, and they're not going to ultimately let this happen. Like, people playing politics with this right now is not very surprising. We live in Portland. Like, that's what the city council is going to do.
Also, like,
so I'm not shocked by it. Also don't need a unanimous vote. You just need a majority vote, and I can't remember exactly what the number is off the top of my head. So a couple of city council members not wanting to pay for this or not wanting to approve it is not the end of the world. You just need a majority vote.
It's a very odd time, I think, to be a sports fan because the city is going through so much negativity in itself.
Yes, it is.
You talk about politicians. Like, Keith Wilson was just polled as very lukewarm by people. And I think he's trying, man. Like, I'm not trying to say he's been perfect, but I think
talking about a guy who's fully on board with funding the arena. It's the mayor of the city is fully on board.
Trying to be on board with businesses coming back and supporting
baseball
them.
Making deals
he's
with them.
He's on board with almost everything that I think you and I agree with.
Sure.
But the city council members are like almost a negative polling at this point because of how awful some things are around here. So I understand that aspect of it. I also I know because I see it. Like, there's Blazer fans that exist that don't feel like you should be funding billionaire projects.
I certainly understand the sentiment and largely agree. The alternative is
no team.
What happens to the economy locally if you lose the Blazers?
But there's an element for me there's an element to me that I'm like, I can't believe that he's not going to do anything. Now, maybe he's toying with the I'm not going to spend any on the renovation because I'm going to spend some of my money on the district.
If you fix the stadium, I'll do the surrounding area.
Yeah, if that happens, then cool. But there's an element of me that totally gets it, man. It's crazy how much money these organizations cost. And zero? If these council members eventually do get out of the way, and it goes from a 20-year lease agreement to a 25-year lease agreement, do we write articles saying, way to posture a little bit and kind of hold a billionaire to a feet to the fire a little bit here?
Could be the case. Maybe that's the ultimate goal, is to try and publicize this stuff as much as you can to get a better deal out of him and a longer lease agreement. The lease doesn't run out until 2030, so you still got a couple more years. I understand that they want the funding done now. They want to start the renovations now.
Yeah.
It's not like they're leaving after next season if there isn't a deal in place. But yeah, I hope that ends up being the positive outcome of this entire story, is that you get a longer lease and the deal is signed and the funding is approved.
So the next positive story we have Blazer related is going to be...
not the draft, because we don't have a pick.
Coaching hire.
There you go.
Wait till we hire Mark Jackson.
We will yell about that.
Hand down, man down.
I mean, if your hand's down, your man is down.
What?
Put your hands up.
If we hire Mark Jackson,
Mama,
the city's gonna
there goes that man.
Mama, there goes that team.
He's going to be yelling
about
it. We
might be all
sideline.
Out on this team.
Nah,
get
I'm
out
all
here.
In, dude. That guy created the Splash Brothers, didn't he?
Loaded third hour, fourth hour, Magic Hat, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.